got more than my share. I'll be moving to my mansion just over in glory, where I'm a rightful heir.
My father owns a cattle on a thousand hills. I believe I own at least one. I stand amazed, amen, when I see his face, knowing that I'm his son. I'm a millionaire. I'm rich in faith, hope, and love. Oh, I got more than my share. I'll be moving to my mansion just over in glory, where I'm a rightful heir.
Amen. Amen. Who's come to church tonight to praise Him? Amen. Turn around, shake your neighbor's hand, tell him I'm rich in faith and love. You might have 27 cents in the bank, but you're rich tonight.
Amen.
Amen. Let's sing that. Play a little more of that song. I'm rich in faith and love. Oh, I got more than my share. I'll be moving to my mansion over in glory, where I'm a rightful heir. Oh, I'm rich in faith, hope, and love.
My sins, He took me in, and He's building me a mansion beyond compare. Hallelujah, I'm a millionaire.
Oh, I'm rich in faith
and hope and love. I got more than my share.
I'll be moving to my mansion over in glory, where I'm a rightful heir. Sing it one more time. I'm rich in faith, hope, and love. I got more than my share. I'll be moving to my mansion over in glory, where I'm a rightful heir.
Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise tonight.
Amen. You can be seated this evening. Amen. Let's go. Got several requests here. Want to remember in prayer. First, we have some visitors with us. Brother Roosevelt, Sister Beatrice from Melbourne, Florida, with Brother Joel Brown. Where they might be back here. Amen. Everybody give them a hand clap tonight. Amen. Like to welcome you with us to the service. Amen. Brother Joel, if you would maybe get ready to take us to the Lord in prayer tonight. Amen. We don't remember... Sister Donnie Pistole at home, not feeling bad from high blood pressure tonight, so we certainly want to remember that need. I have a testimony from Sister Martha Ann. Thank you all for the prayers for her brother Hayward. When they rushed him to the hospital thinking that he had a heart attack, all the tests say that he didn't have a heart attack. The doctors say maybe it was a stress episode. We know it's God coming on the scene for him. He's home from the hospital. God bless. So we're certainly thankful for the prayers there. Amen. And the little testimony. I want to remember Sister Susan in Alberta, Canada. Need prayer for her family. Brother Wes had turned that in. Got an email request from Brother David Rajan. His cousin's son, his nephew, is 15 years old. Been diagnosed with severe autism since 2 months old. They live in India. They're very poor financially. He doesn't walk. He can't eat by himself. He always stays in the bed. Sometimes they sit him up. Their family is Hindu. Said he asked the church to please pray for her and her son, for God to come on the scene and help her family, and may their eyes be open to the truth of the Lord. So we certainly want to remember that need tonight. Also, Sister Bonnie Potter said, just want to thank the Lord for his hand in our life. When we were coming home from Florida, we got a bubble in our tire. The next exit had our tire shop. Praise the Lord. After we got home, the car wouldn't start. Leah had to buy a new battery. Says, thank the Lord we didn't get stranded on the trip. God is so good. Amen. Certainly Amen. Thankful for that testimony. You know, some people probably would have not turned in a testimony for that and been a little aggravated, but amen. It's always good to look at the positive side of things. Amen. So we're certainly thankful for they returned safe from Florida. I want to please pray, Brother Baker, turn this request in for him. His sister passed away. Her name is Mary Grace Collins. So we certainly want to remember that family in our prayers tonight. Also, Sister Lou Beam's mother went to the doctor Monday and had tests run. Doctor said she had lesions on her liver, went back to the doctor, and he said they were not there. Now she will have tests for possible lesions on her kidneys. So we certainly want to thank the Lord for the testimony there tonight. Also, remember her in prayer. Amen. She'd go back for more tests. I want to remember Brother Charlie Torres has an infection, is on antibiotics, so we certainly want to lift him up before the Lord. Brother Jackie Benton called just before church. Sister Wilma has the flu. So we certainly want to remember her in our prayers tonight. And also, please remember the Pascal family in prayer. Sister Pascal passed away Thursday night. So we certainly want to remember her family in our prayers tonight. Amen. In a very special way. Brother Joel, if you would just come this evening. Amen. You can stand to your feet tonight. Amen. How many has a need on your heart? Amen. You'd like to lift a hand to the Lord. Amen.
Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, and faith is the evidence of things not seen. That's the Bible. And there are so many people that have evidence, but there's no substance to it. But we have the evidence, and we have substance, and we have the one that can answer all of these. And quite frankly, the Bible also says that all things work together for the good. Circumstances are good, circumstances can be bad, but they all work together for the good of those who love him, who are the called. Not just called, but the called. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, let faith arise in us, in our hearts, in our lives, in our words, in our actions, in our testimonies. Let us be able to stand with these individuals, Father, the testimonies that's gone forth. Sister Potter, Lord, what, as our brother was saying, how many people would have gotten aggravated and wouldn't even looked at something as being good? But you were in that, Father. You protected our sisters as they were on the road traveling with the children, oh God. You brought them back home safely. What a testimony. How many people didn't make it back home? And Lord, we just bring these needs before you, every individual, every circumstance, every situation. And Lord, we don't know how you're going to work them, but as our pastor has taught us, the general orders are. And so we're standing in the need or in the stead of these individuals, as it were, Father, believing until the will that you've predominated for, predicted for that life and given for these individuals, these circumstances to come forth in their life, oh God. Forgive us of our sins this day. Lord, the opportunities that we've missed to truly be loved to those around us, our neighbors, our friends, even maybe even our children, Father. We've missed an opportunity to be the love that you place within us. We say that we are the message believers of the hour, but Lord, how often do we take the opportunity to let that message become us and invade our lives and permeate our homes, to permeate the circumstances and the atmosphere on our jobs, oh God. And even in this very service, Father, we give you the preeminence and the place. Everything that's said and done, may it be for your glory, Father God. May you remove every element of humanity that would stand in the way, every foul demon spirit that would try to come against the man of God, that would try to come against the sisters that are here tonight worshiping and praising you. There are needs in the building tonight, oh God, and we just call you on the scene. And the prophet has told us that we must be inspired by the word of God that would bring you to that word and make it act and do as it's done in the past, oh God. So may we be inspired tonight. May we be stirred up. May the atmosphere that we create, not that our neighbors create, but that we create, bring you on the scene to bring deliverance to our brothers, to bring deliverance to our sisters, to bring deliverance to our children, our sons, our daughters, oh God. We love you. We give you honor. We give you praise. We give you glory. So from this moment forth, everything that goes forth, may it bring you praise. May it bring you glory. May you receive the predominated seat in this place tonight, oh God. We love you. We honor you. We adore you. And it's in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Let's sing this little chorus this evening. How great is our God? Amen. Sing with me, how great is our God? How many can say he's great tonight?
Amen.
Amen. Let's sing that as the brothers would come receive the evening offering.
Amen. How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? And all will see how above all names. Oh, you're the name above all names. Oh, worthy of all praise. My heart will sing how great is our him tonight. Oh, how great is our God. Oh, sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great. Oh, how great is our God. Oh, he's the name above all names. Oh, let's sing that one more time. Oh, cause you're
great. Amen. I think he deserves to hear it one more time. Oh, cause you're the name above all names. Oh, he is worthy of all praise. My heart will sing how great is thy. Never praised him enough.
Amen.
Amen. Brother Baker and the brothers have got a song together for us. If they would come, being prepared to sing. Also, Sister Julia and Sister Lindsay will be singing after them. Amen. Let's sing that little chorus as they come. Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. Amen. Let's see if that's in the computer. Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I live for you alone, every breath that I take, every moment I'm away. Lord, have your way in me. Lord, I give you my heart, I give you my soul.
Blind man that God gave back his sight. Praise the Lord.
saw the light. I saw the light. I saw the light. No more in darkness, no more in night. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow inside. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. I was a fool to wander and stray. Straight is the gate and narrow's the way. Now I have traded the wrong for the right. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. I saw the light. I saw the light. No more in darkness, no more in night. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow inside. Praise the Lord, I saw the light.
Know that I'm no worthy to call upon your name. All my life I've been a sinner, and for that I am ashamed. Thank you.
Aren't we so glad he came down? When we couldn't go up to him, there's only one solution. Him come down to us. And he did. No resentment, no attitude. Sometimes we have to bend, and boy, it's the awfulest mess it ever was, ain't it? But he come with such an attitude of love and forgiveness and pardon and mercy. Amen. Well, I'm so happy to be in Tennessee. I just don't know what to do. Praise the Lord. Thank you for praying for us while we was gone. The Lord give us some really good meetings. We'll talk a little bit more about it maybe in the morning, but certainly an honor to be gathered together again tonight. As I've got a little bit older, I can't hardly recuperate as quick as I used to could when I'd make these international journeys. So I thought I'd have Brother Horn speak for us tonight, and then I'll try in the morning. In Switzerland time, let's see, it's 7:30 here, so it's 1:30 in the morning. So if I go to sleep on Brother Horn, don't y'all get mad at me. But maybe if he puts me to sleep, he can wake me up. Amen. God bless you. So happy to be back. I've enjoyed traveling around the world and seeing lots of different places. But I sure enjoy being home. There's just something about home. You know that for yourself. There's just something about being home. The Lord did some wonderful things for us while we was gone. But that's the past now. Now here we are in the present. How many's got needs tonight? Things you need from the Lord. Amen. Well, I know our God is mindful of us. Whatever the Lord's put on Brother Terry's heart, we just want to pull tonight, that the Lord will just be able to speak to us and be able to make our needs so personal that we'll know it's the Lord. Amen. Let's sing together. He looked beyond my fault and he saw my need. Praise be to God. Let's just sing it with all of our hearts now. Let's just pull our hearts and our lives together into one channel by which we're able to pull on the gift of God. Let's just call Jesus right down in our midst. Whether you need healing, deliverance, salvation, the Holy Ghost, encouragement, just whatever it is you need, that Jesus will be so mindful, he'll come right by you right here tonight. Amen. Amazing grace shall always be my song of praise. For it was grace that bought my liberty. Amen. Let's sing it now. I do not know just why he came to love me. He looked beyond. Amen. Let's sing it now. I need everybody. Shall forever lift mine eyes to God, to view the cross where the Lord Jesus died for me. Yes, Lord. Once again, as we ask Brother Terry to come. Amen. Let's sing it with all of our hearts. How grateful we ought to be tonight.
on your cross. Oh, I'm so glad that he did. So glad he looked beyond my faults and saw my need. Just thinking about just the little phrase I think Brother Donnie commented about, he came down. Aren't we so glad he came down? Kind of reminds me of Brother Branham thinking it was either the breach of the first seal. He said, I just enjoyed Brother Ungren singing that song, Down From His Glory. He said, I'm so glad that he came down from his glory. Where would we be if he hadn't come down from his glory? And then you just apply that just not to just him saying that, but Revelation 10:1, I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven. Just how beautiful this whole message is. We're just so thankful, so extremely thankful to be part of it. We're not all of it, but we're part of it, and we're happy to be part of it. Amen. God bless you. We're going to turn to the book of Genesis 12, verses 1, 2, and 3. Brother, I want to continue to pray for Brother Bert Gravely. Sister Barbara called a couple of days ago and said to greet the people that he's still recovering from the surgery and that he just certainly requested your prayers. Amen. Happy to be in church?
Amen.
Happy to be part of the eternal kingdom of God?
Yes, sir.
Amen. Happy to have our pastor back. Somebody said, well, you know, isn't it hard for you to preach with Brother Donnie here? So I said, well, not really. I mean, actually, the reason is because I don't have a competitive spirit, you know. You know, he does what he's supposed to do. I do what I'm supposed to do. It's kind of like him having competition with Brother Louis. Brother Louis does his job. Brother Donnie does his job, you know. I do mine. He does his. I don't have a competitive spirit. I so enjoyed, Brother West, what you brought. That was just so wonderful. So wonderful, brother. I appreciate that. Amen. In Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, and then 18, and then chapter 22, the Bible says, Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. Now, how can it be a father of house if he's in somebody else's house? He's got to get out of his house to be a father of somebody's house. I will make thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curses thee, and in thee all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Genesis 18:18, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. 22:18, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed because thou hast obeyed my voice. Now, you say, Brother Terry, you read that same scripture last time you preached. I said, I know it, but you didn't get it. All of it. You didn't get it all yet. So we're gonna by the help of the Lord, it's been burning on my heart ever since I started the first and the second. This is part two, blessings in the homeland, part two, if that's okay with you. While you're standing, Brother Ben says, in Gabriel's instruction to Daniel, he says, Now the close fact is that God deals with Israel only when she's in her homeland. Now, don't forget, just like I said before last time, you don't forget this. Brother Man said, Israel coming out of Egypt, as I said a few minutes ago, is a type of the bride coming out of the church. So, Israel types the bride. Israel types the bride. Israel types the bride. So, as we go through tonight, do the same thing. When I talk about Israel and at you, you just think about the bride in the spiritual. Put on your bonnets again tonight, and you do the spiritual thinking, and you do the applications. I want you to do some thinking too also. And he says here, he can only bless Israel when she's in her homeland. This is Gabriel's instruction. Now Abraham left the promised land and went into Egypt. What happened? He walked away from the will of God and never was blessed till he returned back to the homeland. Well, that does go to show I don't know where the line is. You know, if you walk away from the message of that which is our homeland, you might can come back, but in this later hour, I wouldn't advise it. I wouldn't advise it. Abraham might have got away with it, but I wouldn't advise it this late. God never dealt with him, not one vision, not nothing else, till he come back to the homeland. Look at Ezra when she will sit down to Egypt 400 years. Not one miracle, not one sign, not one thing happened among them, not recorded in the history of the book. Remember, Israel has always been God's pattern. She's a separated people, not reckoned with the nations. They look different. They live different. They talk different. They dress different. They act different. They had a covenant. Everything about Israel was a sign. God wanted them to be different. The bride is different. She's a chosen, separated people. No outside marriages. Israel wasn't married to Moab women. Just stay away from them. You're separated going to your promised land. Lord Jesus, as we pray, we're thankful, Lord, for the reading of the Word. And I pray, Lord, as I've studied and prayed and asked for your guidance and divine direction, that you will give us something tonight that will be of benefit, of help, of encouragement. Whatever the people have need of, Lord, and something be a blessing. We're just here to encourage and to uplift and to give encouragement to we're in these, the last hours of time, the closing scenes of time. Lord, it's good to encourage the people. We need our rebuke. We need our understanding furthered. And, well, this is a house of correction. But Lord, sometimes I'd like just to encourage the people. Give Brother Donnie a little rest tonight and bless all this done and said, we just committed in your hands. We ask in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And everybody says, amen. Amen. You can be seated in the name of the Lord. Remember, as I said, Israel coming out of Egypt, thank you, is always a type of the bride. And Israel in her homeland, as we learned last time, the bride is in her homeland. Our homeland is the message of the hour. We're not home, but we're in our homeland. Israel's not really, they're home in the natural land, but they still got to receive the atonement under that seventh trumpet. So they're not really, really in their true homeland yet, because they haven't been redeemed yet. But there's 144,000 promised that they're going to come out of there. So Israel is, just like we said, Israel the bride, Israel the bride. Israel is chosen, the bride is chosen. Israel fell in the wilderness, the bride tree fell at Nicaea. Israel is now restored, the bride is now restored. Israel has a covenant, the bride has a covenant. Israel is hated by her twin, the bride's hated by her twin. God promised to bless Israel, God promised to bless the bride, and on and on and on and on. That's what he promised to do. Now, last time we touched a lot about the military, and I'm not going to go that direction. Some of the, actually the supernatural battles that Israel fought, you know, from 1948 to present, the five major wars that they fought, and I'm not going to go that direction, but I got about 17 of more looked up. Can I just read you one more? I just got to read one more. God, Israel just knows how to do it. During the War of Independence, 24 homemade Israeli armored trucks and cars took a wrong turn on the way to aid a besieged kibbutz. Now, kibbutz is just a little farming community. It was being besieged by the Syrian and crossed accidentally into Lebanon. They realized their mistake when they ran into 20 brand new Syrian armored cars traveling with dozens of Syrian supplies, trucks carrying ammunition and artillery. The Israelis immediately fired at the first Syrian truck and amazingly hit a tank loaded with gasoline, causing an explosion, which set fire to the following truck full of hand grenades. One by one, each truck in the Syrian convoy exploded. The loud booms could be heard for miles, and the scared surviving Syrians abandoned their cargo. The Israelis had just enough people to drive the captured armored vehicles and Syrian weapons back. By the time they finally reached the kibbutz, the Arab besiegers had already left, apparently after they had heard rumors that the Israeli forces invaded Lebanon. They fled back to Syria. That's how one wrong turn saved an entire kibbutz. The skeptic may write of it as an accident, but when it comes to Israel, there's no accidents. When it comes to Israel, there's no accidents. Whether God can take a man with 300 to go with the Midianites and break some pictures if he wants to win the battle. God knows how to do it. Now, blessings in the homeland. Now, one of the principal themes of Israel is to be a separated people. One of the, maybe even the principal theme, but just like the same thing with the bride. Her calling is Revelation 18:4 and 2 Corinthians 6:17. Come out of her, my people, that be not partakers of her sins, that you receive not her plagues. And 2 Corinthians 6:17 says, wherefore come out from among them and be you separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. Brother Webb says one place that was denomination. So we are a separated people. So that's why this message is not for everybody. You know, there's one eagle and there's many chickens. You know, the eagle was called, the chicken's not called. The eagle, the scream was for the eagle, it wasn't for the chicken. The scream is for the eagle, it's not for the chicken. It's for you, it's not for the church. You're to be called out of the church. Israel was God's choice. The bride is God's choice. Israel had a promised real estate, Jerusalem. The bride has a promised real estate, the new Jerusalem. And plus the whole world for that. Israel has a covenant. The bride has a covenant. We just, as we went through these things, Israel is blossoming like a rose. The bride is blossoming like a rose. Sure she is. Oh, we've got a lot of riffraff around it, but I'm telling you, the true bride is blossoming like a rose, coming to maturity. Oh, I believe I could fly to Switzerland right now with that airplane. Lord, I tell you, when I get started on Israel, brother, I just get so excited seeing the parallel. What God is doing for Israel is what God's doing for the bride. What He's doing in the natural for them, what He's doing in spiritual for us. Brother Brown says, God keeps His word. I stand with Israel. Take our ground or take it. Certainly, Arabs went in the wrong thing. Sure they are, brother. Look at every nation that turned against a Jew. They sunk. Look at Germany when they turned against the Jew and they burnt the bodies of in the incinerators. And look what it is today. Look at Italy turned against the Jews. And when Mussolini ousted them from Italy, look at her today. If we wasn't feeding them, they'd be starved to death. Of course, that was in 1957. But look, it's always been the truth. God said it. It's got to come to pass. Whoever blesses Israel will be blessed. Whoever curses Israel will be cursed. That's still true today. And how many times does Brother Man say Israel is back in the homeland? Israel back in the homeland. It's such a miracle that Israel is back in the homeland, a nation that was reborn again. It's never happened. Amen. Right. All these old empires that persecuted the Jews, they're all been destroyed or been actually even destroyed. They actually been punished for it, if not destroyed. The great Assyrian Empire, the Neo-Babylonian Empire, the Phoenician Empire, the Roman Empire, the Nazi Empire, and even the USSR, they're all history. But Israel is blooming like a rose. Israel is back in her homeland. Israel's a nation today. Not only just a nation, but a prospering nation. We talked about it a little bit last time, flowing with milk and honey. Listen, in the Six-Day War, most of Jerusalem was still occupied by the Arabs, but the Jews advancing building by building and street by street and retaking the old city until they reached at last the Wailing Wall. And the Wailing Wall, which was built, of course, you know, as a symbol of their reborn nation, that's what the Wailing Wall means to them, and it's 4,000 years of history. But when they reached that wall in the Six-Day War, the old men, they got to shouting and dancing. The priests, some of them, the soldiers got to shouting and dance around the Prime Minister Escal and David Ben-Gurion. They were rejoicing. And there was General Rabin was there and General Moshe Dayan. They was all rejoicing because they had come to what that was the center of their holy place, if you will. They were back, restored back into Israel. You know, Moshe Dayan. Now, Moshe Dayan is not a religious man, although he's a Jew and a Hebrew. But he, at the Wailing Wall there, he wrote a prayer note and put it in the rocks there where the mortar is in the rocks. And he turned around and made this tremendous statement. He said, "We have returned to the holiest of our holy place. I give you my word, we shall never be parted from it again." Never be parted. Somehow I believe they're going to stay there. Yeah, they're going to have their board. They're going to have their battles. They'll have that covenant with the Catholic Church. But that's their land. God promised them that land. That's their land. They're going to stay there. Amen. Oh, it's just beautiful. And I think about, you know what, General Moshe Dayan said. He said, "I give you my word, we'll never have to depart." I think about, I just had to put it this way, 1963, General William Branham declared that we're also returning to our home, holiest of our holy places. He stood up in the first seal and said, "I'm going to call you bride." That wasn't him that said that, but he was declaring that there's an infant bride upon the earth. Moshe Dayan said, you're now in the holiest of your holy places. Brother Ben said, now you're now in the holiest of your holy places. What is it? The revealed word of the hour. That's the holiest of our holy places. The restored word God gave to us. Old David Ben-Gurion during the War of Independence. Rizzi was, as I said, David Green. He had a name change. Abraham had a name change. He was the first Hebrew, if you want to put it that way. David Ben-Gurion, he was actually a Hebrew, but he was born in Poland. But he didn't want that Polish name. He wanted a Hebrew name. So he said, I'm going to have a name change. Brother, how fitting it is that that first prime minister got a name change. They called him David Ben-Gurion, and Ben, of course, means son of. Ben-Gurion means son of a lion. Oh, the lion of the tribe of Judah. So David Ben-Gurion, he stood up and he made the statement. He said, and they were trying to decide, what are we going to call this new nation? What are we going to call this new nation? He stood up and he said, my nation shall be called Israel. Oh, I'm just so happy about it. So what's the big deal with Israel? What is the big deal with Israel? Well, somebody's got to be a chosen nation. Somebody had to show God's sovereignty. Somebody had to record the words of their prophets. Somebody had to be the lineage through the promised Messiah would come through. Somebody had to be a blessing to the world. Somebody had to do it. Amen. So what's the deal with this bride? Somebody's got to be the bride. God chose a bride. Amen. Might as well be me and you. Amen. I'm glad He chose me. I'm glad He chose you. I freely accept. Somebody's got to do it. Why can't I do it? I'm not worthy of it, but I accept it. I'm glad about it. That's what's the big deal with Israel. Somebody's got to do it. God promised it. What God promises, God brings to pass. But you know, whatever God promised, you know, Satan's going to try to, he's going to try to destroy it. Everything that God ever does, Satan tries to destroy. Now, in the book of Genesis, it's got three main divisions, you will, or settings, you might say. Chapter 1 through 11 is the creation, the Eden, the flood, and Tower of Babel, and 12 through 36, Abraham and his descendants in early Israel. And then, of course, 37 through 50, Joseph down to Egypt. So, watch this just a minute. From the time when God called Abraham, now he called Abraham out of the Ur of the Chaldees and said, now you go up to Canaan. I want you to go up to Canaan. So he sent him up to Canaan. And from that time that he called him until when Joseph went down into Egypt was somewhere about 200 years. So now, listen, they're in the Canaan, in the land of Canaan. Well, you got all the Canaanites. They got idolatry and immorality and everything. So they're in the land with all these idolatrous Canaanites. You know, so they look at the influence. So surrounded by this immorality and idolatry of the Canaanites, really the godliness of Abraham and his, not so much him, but his descendants, it degenerated into such a state of immorality, you might say, in some of these descendants. And along with the famine in Canaan, the nation of Israel actually over that 200 period dwindled down to about 70 souls. Remember when Jacob, when he went down to Egypt, him and his family, 70 was left. So the nation of Israel had almost died out, only 70 had left, if you want to call what we would call the nation of Israel, the Hebrews then. But God did a wonderful thing. A wonderful thing. Also, the early church, from Pentecost down to Luther, it almost died out by spiritual immorality of the Catholic Church. But that old Roman book ate this bride tree down to a stump, but God did a wonderful thing with her too. God did a wonderful thing. Remember, every seed, oh, this is beautiful, I want to show this parallel. Every seed that has life must be buried in a womb to reproduce life again, okay? Now, follow here. So God buried that dying nation of Israel down in Egypt for 400 years, an unlikely and an uninspected womb, if you will, but a good place for them to grow and to multiply. Think about it now. Israel's life was diminishing, so what did God do? He sent Joseph down there because Joseph was sent down there to preserve life. He sent him to preserve life. Israel was dying, but he sent somebody down there to preserve life. So they stayed down there for 400 years. They began to multiply and multiply and multiply. And after all this, how they came out of the land of Egypt with 2 million strong. Started with 70 and went up to 2 million. Oh, brother, God knows how to preserve life. He's a life preserver. When you get to, when God puts a life preserver over you, you don't drown. I mean, He's a life preserver. I don't care where they throw you, the Nile River, the Egypt, God knows how to preserve, doesn't He? So what did God do? God did, the church also fell in the unlikely womb called the Catholic Church. for these dark ages of what happened, down through these dark ages, but God promised, I'm going to restore, saith the Lord. He hadn't let that bride seed fall into an unlikely womb also, that horrible Catholic church, but I will restore, saith the years, all the years of the palmer worm and so forth. And out of that dark womb of Catholicism, a little light began to emerge with Luther, a little more with Wesley, a little more with Pentecost, until now the original token life is, I don't know, probably several million now. It was 2 million strong back then. I don't know. I mean, in Egypt, when Israelites came out of Egypt, I don't know how many makes up the bride as but there'll be millions there, you know, taking up the last 60 or 70 years from 1906 on. Probably millions strong. He said, I saw millions when I was over there. God did a wonderful thing. That seed, the bride tree had to die. Israel had to go down and be buried in an unlikely womb, but it had to die so that it could bring forth life. It's always got to die so it can bring forth life. And you got to die to bring forth life. Every young person's got to die before they can bring forth life. But that's why the whole message of invisible union, Brother Matt said, like a marriage, that first wife, she's got to be, first wife has got to be dead if you're going to, her first husband got to be dead, rather, if you're going to remarry. A woman can't do that. He said the same thing with this bride. That first husband must be dead. The denomination must be dead to marry Christ the Word. It's got to be dead. That's the only way he ain't gonna marry an ill-famed woman, but same thing, you've gotta die first, there's gotta be a death. Oh, listen people, listen, this infant nation born out of Egypt is brought into the world as it were, where it was divinely protected, divinely fed, and divinely nurtured for 40 years. Brought out by the mightiest prophet in the Old Testament, which was a Jewish prophet, and also this infant bride, listen, infant bride, born down of denominations, brought into this spiritual world, has been divinely protected, divinely fed, and divinely nurtured, and brought out by the mightiest prophet in the New Testament, the only Gentile prophet. Aren't you glad that God does what he done for Israel? He's going to do for the bride. Israel, the bride. Israel, the bride. Oh, brother, I'm so glad Israel is prospering. The bride is prospering. Israel is eating well. The bride is eating well. Israel is being protected. The bride is being protected. I don't care how you slice it. Don't mess with Israel. And don't you mess with this bride. They think they're going to be pulling something over on this bride, but don't you mess with this bride. God's got his hand on his little children here. Oh, brother, I just love it. But listen, I didn't want to do it, but I'm just going to have to do it. I read them last night, last time I preached, some of the agricultural achievements. If you'll just give me 2 minutes, I want to read a few of those again. Maybe there'll be somebody that didn't get that. Listen to what Brother Bram says in question answers on Hebrews. And they begin to just talk about the early pioneers in modern Israel, early 40s and 48 when they become a nation. They begin to pick up rocks and sacks off the ground. And today they found fountains of water. She's the most greatest agricultural country in the world. Did you hear that? She's the most greatest she wasn't then in 57, Brother Man, but look at the prophecy. She isn't then, but she is now. She's the most greatest agricultural country in the world. The Dead Sea holds more riches than all the rest of the world put together. The Jews are returning back. It's been hid from the Gentiles, but they're blossoming like a rose. They said to them, these Jews said, are you coming back to die in the homeland? Said, we're coming back to see the Messiah. Where is he at? He's supposed to be here. Brother, when you see that fig tree putting forth its buds, he said, this generation will not pass away till all be fulfilled. Amen. Now listen, hold that scripture, because that scripture is always so misunderstood and misinterpreted. This generation won't pass away till all be fulfilled. I ran across this, I thought about how to fit. Listen to what he said, I'm going to get that in just a second. Look at the revival coming with the Jews. Now the Jews is promised a revival. Not all Jews, but a certain number of Jews. A certain group of Jews. And they're watching for the coming Messiah. The church, the spirit-filled church and bride, amen, the virgins with the oil and lamps will go in the wedding supper. Now, if you don't mind, I'm just going to read these, just a few of them right quick. It just excites me so much. What God did in the natural, Brother Rob, God's doing in the spiritual. You just read between the lines. Israel is one of the leading producers and exporters of citrus fruit. More than 40 different types of fruit are grown in Israel. Israel exports more than $2 billion in tomatoes, and that's their fourth largest commodity. Israel grows over $107 million worth of cotton sales, grown on 71,000 acres and 13 tons per acre. That's the highest yield in the world. Milk. Israeli cows produce the highest amounts of milk per animal in the world. How do they do it? I don't know how they do it. I guess it's just a land of milk and honey. That's all I know. An orchard of 4,000 midget peach trees is densely packed into 1 acre, yielding the same quality of fruit as 160 normal trees in the same acre. That's in Israel. Golden fields of midget wheat produce 35% more grain per acre than the full-size plants. Peanut yields are 4 times higher there than they are in Georgia and West Virginia. The Negev Desert, which now I told you about, the Negev Desert was actually 2/3. It's all the whole southern Israel is a desert. Well, it was a desert. It is a desert, but it don't act like a desert. The Negev Desert is Europe's main winter vegetable basket. What God did with that desert land. Some farmers harvest 3 or 4 times a year, growing about 60 tons of food per acre. That's 4 to 6 times more than what American farmers grow. They know how to do it. God's give them the understanding to know how to do it. Why? Because God promised, I'm going to bless Israel. And there's a reason Israel had to be blessed this last day. We'll get to that in a minute. Oh, the fruit orchard they've grown has become a fruit orchard and a vegetable garden. Oh, they're one of the leading producers of dates and figs. They perfected irrigation with brackish salt water. We can't do that, but they can irrigate with brackish salt water. Got 5 major desalination plants. They've got so much water now they even sell the water. God knows how to do it. They got the whole Mediterranean Sea. Just desalinate it, sell it. Grapes. Israel supplies 80% of the world's wine. They got the grapes. They know how to do it. Brother, it's a miracle what God has blessed Israel with. Now, since we mentioned about the Jews are looking for a revival, let's talk about the Jews for just a minute, these special Jews, okay? She's mentioned she's got a revival coming up. She's looking for a revival. Let's talk about the 144,000. They're going to be called out. Now, listen to what it says in Feast of the Trumpets. I'm sure you're familiar with this. Now, Feast of the Trumpets. Now notice exactly the continuity of the scripture. Exactly the same. Under the seventh trumpet is to Israel the same as the seventh seal was to the church. So we know there's a seventh trumpet to Israel, same thing as the seventh seal to the church. And Brother Branham tied the third pull and the seventh seal together. We know there's 3 phases of the third pull. The open word, the spoken word, and the souls are now in prison. But he always ties these together. And the main thing is the opening of the word. The opening of the word. The opening of the word has come forth. So Israel is looking for their opening of the word. Amen. Their seventh trumpet will be the seventh seal. Their seventh trumpet is the same as the seventh seal, which is tied in with the third pull. So listen to what he says also in the seventh seal. The elected will come out. What is it? And the tribulation period, God will call his elected. And that is the Jews during that time. Now listen, we talk about, you know, we're the Gentile bride. We're elected. Amen, we sure are. But God's got some elected Jews too. He's got some elected Jews. And now, don't you know, God loves those 144,000. He's got a place for them. A special place for them. We'll get to it in a minute. God will call his elected. That's the Jews during that time, the elected. The Bible speaks of it. Paul speaks out. According to the election, that will be 144,000 according to the election. And that will believe the message out of literally millions that will be there. What message will those Israelites believe? The same message you believe. Amen. The same message. They'll believe the message. They'll be called to that atonement. Yes, there'll be millions in Palestine at the days of the prophecy of Elijah. There were millions in Palestine in the days of the prophecy of Elijah, and 7,000 were saved out of millions. Now, according to the election, where millions of Jews are gathered into their homeland, it's become a nation, there will be millions there, but only 144,000 elected ones will be taken. They will hear the message. Brother, sister, you better get it settled in your mind. God's got 144,000 elected servants over there that's going to hear the same message you cherish, the same message they'll cherish. Amen. The same message that sealed you will be the same message that seals them. Amen. They'll rejoice just like you rejoice. When they see the light, they'll shout and they'll probably dance and scream, thank God You know, they'll wail for a while. Why? How? What? Where'd you get those scars in the house of my friends? But they'll rejoice. I see it. I see it. I see it. I'm glad he's got 144,000 elected. Amen. And they're just waiting for the atonement to be made and manifest to them when two prophets come on the scene. Now, also in the seventh seal, paragraph 548, now 144,000 elected Jews don't bow to the beast. This is during the tribulation. His denominational statutes or anything through their nation is in a covenant with it. Though the nation is in a covenant with it, what he's talking about during the tribulation period, when Israel make a covenant, or the Catholic Church will make a covenant with Israel. Israel is in a covenant, but there'll be 144,000 that's not going to do it. That's the elected. Same thing is right here with the Gentile church. Now, it's an elected group. You can't pull that kind of stuff. They won't believe it. No, sir. The light once struck them, that settles it right then. See then? See it happen? And see it vindicated and proven like that? And they look down here with the Bible and see that the word just going, oh, you might as well just quit fooling with them. That's what I say. Quit fooling with this bride. You might as well quit fooling with them. You're wasting your time, devil. All these make-believers and people who's left and trying to discredit the prophet, the message, and whatever more, you're wasting your time. She's going on anyway. Because they believe it. That's all. Though they can't explain it, they know they got it. I might as well just go ahead and say it here. All these blessings in Israel, the blessings in the homeland, the five major wars, one supernatural. In 50 years, the Israeli Air Force downed 1,020 enemy fighters with 28 losses. And not an Air Force in the world that can match that record. They've taken the Negev desert, and two-thirds of that is just a wilderness landmass, and they've turned it into a blooming desert and an agricultural paradise. Nobody else could do that but Israel. They've got the Iron Drone missile defense system, knock down anything the enemy sends. They've got good water, they sell it. They've got good food, they sell it. They've got agricultural technology, they just give it away. They got rifles that'll shoot around corners, and they got a new missile called the Delilah. Got a new missile, they call it Delilah. Y'all go watch one of the videos about it. It's got a camera right in the front. It's got a mind of its own. Maybe that's the reason they named it Delilah. I don't know. They can shoot that missile out. If they decide to abort the thing, they can turn it around, bring it back. I think they can even disarm it, but they can put it in a holding pattern. It can hold it. Even if you got a moving target, they put it in a holding pattern until the target. It's got a mind of its own. No wonder they call it Delilah. But why? Why God is blessing and protecting Israel? Because why? Because God has 144,000 elected Jews that have got to come out of that land. And he's got to send two prophets of Moses and Elijah over there to pull them out. They got to come to the atonement. They were blinded that we might have a chance. But God loves those 144,000. He loves his children. They were blinded that we might have a way in. So God is protecting their land. He made a covenant with Abraham. Whoever blesses it will be blessed. If curses it will be cursed. God promised to take care of him. He is, and he will right on. He's fixing to call them to atonement. He's preparing and blessing that land for these two prophets to come on the scene and receive the same message we receive. Thank God for that. Now, while we're talking about these 144,000, who are they? Where will they come up? What part will they play? Who are all these brothers? Say, brothers, first of all, people get confused about this scripture. I'm going to talk about this scripture. This generation won't pass away. Listen to this. This generation won't pass away till all these things be fulfilled. You say, well, Israel's nation, 1948. A generation's 40 years, 1988. It's not all fulfilled. It don't mean exactly that. I didn't know that till I seen what Brother Ram said about that. In the seventh seal. Notice what he says in the seventh seal. Now, 1,000 years on the earth, 7 seal 549, 1,000 years on earth is one day with God. And 3.5 years, what would it go to? So many seconds in God's time. That's the reason he said it's at the door. Verily I say unto you that this generation shall not be consumed, done away with, this people, until all these things are what? What won't be done away? They've tried to kill the Jew off the earth all the time. They'll never be able to do it. Amen. But notice the very generation of Jews that seen the return back into Palestine, that generation, not 40 years of people, not a time span, a generation, a nation, that generation, that nation of Israel won't be consumed or done away with till it's all fulfilled. That's what the prophet of God is talking in the seventh seal. Not just 40 years, but a generation of people, of Hebrews, would see those things happen. Amen. In just the last 2 years, she's fully become a nation with her own money and whatever. There she is. Now, here's a big question. Who are these elected? 144,000. Revelation 13, 18. Let's read here. Three or four scriptures. Here's wisdom. We got it up there. Here's wisdom. Revelation 13, 8. Here, let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. And his number is 666. Revelation 14, 1. I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his father's name written in their foreheads. Predestinated. 14:2. And I heard a voice from heaven as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of a great thunder, and I heard the voice of harpers harping with their hearts, and they sung as it were a new song before the throne, and both the four beasts and the elders, and no man could learn the song but the 144,000 which were redeemed on the earth. They're redeemed. And Brother Ben said, only the predestinated is considered in redemption. They're redeemed. They're predestinated. Chosen of God. Amen. Revelation 14, 4. These are they which were not defiled with women. For they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. Does that kind of clear that up a little bit? Let me show you what position they play. Brother Brown says in Question and Answers 19 and 57, he said, then when Jesus returned to the Jews, what are they? What are they? They are the eunuchs to the temple. The eunuchs to the temple. They have a place. They have a position. They have a calling as God's servants. Say, that's not fair. God can do what he wants to. 144,000 first fruits men, eunuchs, chosen men that God has called out, be called out of Israel. Not defile themselves with women. Orthodox. Oh, they'll receive the message of the hour. How God does it so beautiful. He's so perfect in everything he does. Aren't you so glad and so thankful, brother and sister? God, give us this message. Give us an understanding where we are. What's taking place? Where are we on the timeline? We'll get to it in a minute if we can, Lord willing. They're eunuchs to the temple. That's why they have to be brothers. Men, Jews, they're not sons, they're servants. And Israel is saved as a nation. That's why God is blessing the nation of Israel. They have a special place during the millennium. Just like the bride has a special place during the millennium. Modern Israel, 144,000 chosen, predestinated. Modern bride, perhaps millions chosen and predestinated. Another thing, Omar said, listen, this is beautiful. When the Lord showed me this, from this point on, I'm not responsible. So he says that, you know. Yeah. Abraham's grace covenant. Boy, when I've seen this. Now, one more thing. Then what happened? To receive the oncoming son, what did he do? He had to do something to Sarah. And Abraham, too. Look now, sisters, we're in a mixed crowd. You forgive me, but they had to be ceased husband and wife within, so they had to do something to them. Now Sarah, the Bible said, her womb was dead. And Abraham as a man was as good as dead. Is that right? Years had ceased with them, many, many years back, and husband and wife in the way of sexual order. What did he do? Now, we know he had to do something to Sarah. Because her womb was dead, he'd have to make her womb fertile again. Her womb was dead. He had to make that womb fertile again. So God changed Sarah's body, her earth, her dust, if you will, made her a new body, the earth, and made that earth fertile again. Israel was the same way. Israel, the Negev desert was a desert. It was infertile. But God just raised up Israel and showed them, how are you going to make that land fertile again? It was barren. It was dried up. It was desert. It was unfertile. But God changed the breadbasket womb of Israel and made it a fertile ground one more time. Glory. God knows how to do it. And also the bride, she was She not only was infertile, but she was dead in denominational creeds. Brother Ben said, spoke words of riddle seed. Why didn't all those rains back there bring the bridegroom back to the bride? Because she wasn't fit. Because the church became a whore. Her womb was hybrid. Her womb was polluted. Her womb was dead to God, if you will. It was like that. So God's not going to come to a polluted womb. So she had a dead womb. So God had to make this bride a virgin. He had to make it that way. Just like Sarah had to be changed. Israel in the gay desert had to be changed. The bride has to be changed. That's why we are different. We're separated. We're not like the rest of the world. The world's not chosen. You're chosen. Look like it. Act like it. Dress like it. Talk like it. Love the Lord. Be different. Be separated. This is not for everybody. This is, you're not talking about just any old Tom, Dick, and Harry. This is God's choice. Just like a man chooses his bride, God chose his bride. That's the ones he wants to live in the city with him. That's his elected. We don't deserve it, but he did it. He called us. We didn't do it. He did it. But just be thankful. Say, God, I'm so thankful you let me be part of it. I want to serve you and love you and come to church and do what's right. Amen. Don't have awe and you know, and respect for other people and bitterness and all those things. You know, get rid of all that stuff. Love one another. Live happy. Be kind. Be sweet. Be gentle. I used to have a saying when in high school, we don't sweat the small stuff. You know, people get so bent out of shape about things they don't amount to nothing. Let it go. Let it go. I mean, hey, if you get defrauded, if you know, if you get talked about, put down, what does it matter? Don't sweat the small stuff. Go on and just be a real Christian. Hey, you're supposed to be rugged. You're supposed to be rugged. You ain't no hotbed plant. You're rugged. You can take it. Go ahead with the Lord. You keep on pulling. I'm going to feel like preaching here in a minute. Brother, when I just think about that Negev desert, and also, listen, here's something else. Israel has produced many new and better certified seeds. They got many new certified seeds to put in this. It used to be a desert. And brother, I want to tell you what, there's been a resurrection. A resurrection in this bride also. And they're not only certified seeds, a lot of predestinated seeds. God knows how to call them. He knows how to make them. As Brother Biscoe said about 25 years ago, I never did forget it. He said, God cannot father an imperfect seed. God cannot father an imperfect seed. If God's your father, it's a perfect seed. Everything about it is perfect. Not your flesh, but the seed part is perfect. How many of you ever remember Theo Erasmus from Somerset West, South Africa? I remember Theo down at camp meeting said about 15, 18 years ago, he said, of course, that English accent, I just love it. He said, God's concerned about the origin. He's concerned about your destiny. Everything in the middle is just superfluous. And really, that's kind of is. God's concerned about your origin and your destiny. Yeah, he knows when the sparrow falls. But all this stuff in the middle, what does it amount to? It's all going to pass away. He said he won't put anything on you too hard for you to bear. Right. Just as long as you come, get born again and make it there, that's the main thing. He didn't promise us a picnic. This is a battle. But I'm so glad we got some certified seeds too. Genuine certified seeds. Been given a virgin womb, producing virgin life, producing token life, reproducing now a word life. The womb's now been sealed. No more pollution. God's spiritual desert is blossoming like a rose. Here's part of the Negev desert. It's all blossoming. Great big old tomatoes and cucumbers and spinach and squash and all that stuff that we don't like. It's just beautiful. Blessings in the homeland. The message of the hour is our homeland. I'm just so happy for it. Oh, brother. Sarah's womb was dead and it was unfertile. Israel's breadbasket womb, the Negev desert, was barren and unfertile. The bride tree, she become dead and unfertile. But God said, I'm going to resurrect all three of them, which he did. Oh, thank God. Why do you think God's blessed this America, this United States, for the last 200 years? Well, I'm just going to tell you, there's several reasons, but I'm going to tell you why I think. Because he had to prosper and prepare this land to receive the greatest prophet that's ever, Gentile prophet, the only Gentile prophet. He had to prepare this land to receive that prophet and make this land prosper. Why? Because this land, this nation, and this people, this bride, is going to be able to have the wherewithal to be able to take this message and send it around the world. He raised up the prophet in America. Somebody had to pay for it to get it out. Somebody had to print the book. Somebody had to get the message out. So they said, I'll just do it in America. She's got the money. She's got the finance. I'll bless that country. Bring the prophet out of America. He's sending it around the world. God knows what he's doing. He knows how to do it. Oh, sir, I believe. They said, well, you think God would do that just for a nation? He'd do that just for a nation. Prosper this land so it can print and publish and duplicate this message for the world to have. Amen. He prospered this land because there was an elected, predestined bride to come out of it. Just like God prospered Israel through Abraham. He said, you'll be a blessing to many nations. So likewise in America, this bride in America has been a blessing to many nations. Israel said, you'll be a blessing to many nations. This bride in America has been a blessing to many nations. People have sent thousands and thousands and tens of thousands of dollars and books and tapes and built churches and on this church. How many tens of thousands of dollars have gone over and built churches and seed libraries and books and Bibles and you name it, come right out of this church. God blessed America so she could bless the world. Amen. I'm happy about that. I'm glad to be part of it. And all the things it's done, you'll be attached to it. The glory's on that side. The country where the prophet was called from had to be blessed to get this message out because we've got the means to do it. God promised, I'm going to bless you through Abraham and you'll be a blessing to many nations. As I said, so this nation is going to be a blessing to, this nation will be a blessing to many other nations. Oh, brother, I just love it. Israel, the bride. Israel, the bride. Israel, the bride. Israel exports food worldwide. The bride exports food worldwide. Don't we export food worldwide? When I went to one trip, when I went to Africa, I think it was the first trip I went to Africa. Of course, there's only just probably two or three white men get off the airplane. And everybody there was, of course, was black people. So Brother Sheeta said, well, I'll meet you in the airport. Said, well, great. There's 200 black people there, and I don't know any of them. He said, I'll meet you there. Okay, fine. Well, how am I going to know? So I just be walking down, and I'm just looking, you know. Of course, there was four or five white people, so I guess there's four or five options for him, you know. But I'm walking down there, and I'm just looking at people. They just, you know, and they just looking and looking. And I don't know where he's at. And I've been walking, keep on walking, going down through the core of the airport. And I seen a brother standing with a spoken word book. There he is. There he is. This has got to be the right way. And ain't nobody else going to carry a spoken word book. Glory. So I'm really glad that we get to export some food out around the world. Israel has the best national defense. We got the best national defense. The Holy Ghost. Israel has an iron drone defense system. That's their bodyguards. We got our iron drone defense system. That's the fivefold ministry. There's one of them right there. That's our bodyguards. Israel's won five wars supernaturally. We've won every one of our wars supernaturally. I like this one. I'm going to have to repeat it again. Israel's a leading exporter of wine. The bride's a leading consumer of wine. Somebody's got to do it. As they say, it's a dirty job. Somebody's got to do it. Just drink up, brother. I'm not talking about that, those spirits that make you drunk, but I'm talking about the spiritual food and the manna that God has given us for this bride. Amen. Just get spiritual drunk on it. Oh, just lay in the presence and bathe in the Son of God. We love that kind of wine. I feel a little bit of that third seal stimulation right here, right now. Don't you love him? Yes, sir. Listen, Israel's waiting on the Feast of the Trumpets. The bride is feasting while waiting on the trumpet. You know, hey, I just love it. You know, just such a perfect. Israel is waiting on Elijah to come. The bride is resting since Elijah has come. Amen. Brother Harry, listen to this one. Israel has a prime minister. The bride has many prime ministers. I'm faithful. We've got lots of prime ministers. Israel has many certified seed. We got plenty of predestinated seed. Israel has purified water. We got purified water. Israel sitting on oil. The bride has oil sitting on her. Israel has riches in the Dead Sea. The bride's got riches in the Sea of Glass. Israel is chosen. The bride's chosen. Israel's in her homeland. The bride's in her homeland. Israel's waiting for the atonement to come to her. The atonement is waiting for the bride to come to him. Just on and on and on and on and on. It's just beautiful what God's done for the bride and through Israel. I just love it. Just to think of what God is doing for me and you. We get to come to church, Brother Gene, and listen to the Word of God, the highlight of the week. We can sit into a church service and hear the Word of God preached. We can listen to tapes. We're just so happy. We're just out of our mind. Why shouldn't we be happy people? Why shouldn't we be the happiest people on the face of the earth? What do we got to complain about? What do we got to be unhappy about? I don't care if you ain't got two nickels to rub together. That don't mean nothing. We ain't got much time left anyway. Be happy and love one another and treat one another and be nice to one another. Don't ever have any grudges one with another. Get ready to go. It's all over. It's all over. You say, I don't want to hear this all over. I do want to hear this all over. You say, I'm a young person. I want the American dream and grow up and have a family in a brick home like that. You got a brick home, but it's going to be on the other side. It'll be made out of gold, streets of gold and walls of jasper and all this stuff. Don't worry about this one down here. I mean, yeah, go ahead. You know what I'm talking about. You know, but you got to live like he's coming tomorrow. Now, just in closing here, I've got pages, but I'm just going to... I've jotted down here some of the... Without this wonderful message, things that we would not know without this message. You're talking about great big fruits and cabbages and buttered rolls and roast beef and mashed potatoes and gravy. And Brother Ram talks about these great big cabbages. I don't like cabbage, but I like some of that roast beef from Gracie and Sister Schubert's rolls and I don't know what all more. That's what I like. You know what I mean? Of course, I know it shows. But without this message, how would we know? And it's not knowledge, but it's revelation. Amen. Talk about some of the wonderful natural things he did with Israel. I'm going to read you a few wonderful spiritual things he did with the bride. Just the things he let us know. We wouldn't know this had it not been this message. I'm just jotted, and this is only a few of them. There's hundreds of them. Without this message, how would we know it never rained in the day of Noah? You could preach on every one of these. Abraham and Sarah, the changed young again. The truth on water baptism. The truth of the Godhead. The serpent seed. Who the 144,000 are. True eternal security. True predestination. The seven church ages. The seven seals. The name of the seven messengers. Souls under the altar. The fifth seal. The future home. The bride lives in the city. The new Jerusalem. The difference between the appearing and the coming. The mystery Babylon. Who the beast is. The whore and the harlot. The seven dimensions. The seven thunders. The three bodies. The three works of grace. The third Exodus, three major Exodus. The third pull, the order of the rapture. Two prophets of Revelation 11. Five manifestations of Elijah's spirit. The miracle of Pentecost. No eternal hell. A word birth, not on the spirit realm, but of the soul. The breach, Revelation 5, the title deed. All creation was lost. We didn't know that stuff. We didn't know that stuff. We didn't have an idea what that was all about. But God let us have an understanding of these wonderful things. You talk about a desert that's been turned and blossomed like a rose. God has given us so much revelation. Our desert has blossomed like a rose. I'm so happy about it. I don't know what to do. Thank God for revelation. Thank God for truth. False anointed ones in Matthew 24. Who is this Melchizedek? The bride tree restored. Where God meets a worshiper. Satan's Eden. Doing God a service. Marriage and divorce. Statue of a perfect man. Adoption. Blasphemous names. Prophetic scriptures, Malachi 4, Luke 17, 3, Revelation 10, 7, Matthew 17, 11, Amos 3, 7, Zechariah 14, 6, all these scriptures for our day fulfilled. Recognizing your day in his message, return of the pillar of fire, invisible union, Three kinds of believers. Christ is a mystery. Baptism of the Holy Ghost made way for the Holy Ghost Himself. Word constantly unfolding and on and on and on and on. I just read you a few of them. There's another page. There's another page. I ain't going to read all of them. They're just there. It just goes on and on and on. Oh, brother. Musician, why don't you come on? Can I just read you one more war story? Musicians, come on. Go back and do a little research on Israel. See how God's blessed her since 1948. It's all supernatural. This is during the Independence War. You'll like this one. You like all of them. You like the other ones too, didn't you? These are not makeup. This is true stories. This is history. Taking back Mount Zion. During the Independence War, which is 1948, this person by the name Ira Rappaport, we'll just call him Ira, Israeli platoon, he was a platoon leader, fought the Jordanian military for Mount Zion and found themselves surrounded by hundreds with only 25 bullets left. This guy, Ira, and his platoon, they were surrounded by all these Jordanian military. They had 25 bullets left. With the sad end seemingly near, the men agreed to go out with a bang, as it were, and readied themselves to make good use of every last bullet. Then, just when the small platoon was about to face the inevitable, something incredible happened. The Jordanian soldiers dropped their weapons and began suddenly running away, screaming, "Abraham! Abraham! Abraham!" Well, that was incredible. Dropped their soldiers and fled. Several years later, Ira, this man coming across a familiar face with an unlikely answer as to what actually occurred on that miraculous day, this person he came in contact with was a former Jordanian soldier who had fought that war against them on Mount Zion. According to him, his army all witnessed a vision of Abraham defending the Jews in the sky above the Israeli platoon and had no choice but to drop their weapons. Glory! God knows how to win wars. He knows how to fight battles. You say, well, God don't fight fair. Tell me in the Bible where it says God has to fight fair. He does what He wants to. Let's stay with God. He don't have to fight fair. He just, if he wants to knock out a million Philistines or whatever more, he just knocks them out. Aren't you glad about that? Oh, brother. Harry, have you got a song for us tonight, brother? I'd say you better choose one right quick. God bless you. Isn't it good to be a Christian? Amen. Let's worship a little bit before we go. Stay for it, brother Harry. Glory.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful, Jesus is to me. Counselor, Prince of Peace, mighty God is He. He's saving me, keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, praise His name. He's so wonderful, wonderful, Jesus is to me. Counselor, Prince of Peace, mighty God is He. He's saving me, keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, praise His name. Oh, my heart sings today, sings for joy and gladness. Jesus saves, satisfies, banishes my sadness. Guilt is gone, peace is mine, peace like to a river. Jesus is wonderful, mighty to deliver. He's wonderful, wonderful, Jesus is to me.
mighty God is He. He's saving me, keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, praise His name. Once a slave, now I'm free, free from condemnation. Jesus gives liberty and a full salvation. Now the sins of my past have been all forgiven, and I know my name's inscribed on the book of heaven. He's wonderful, wonderful. Jesus says to me, Counselor, Prince of Peace, mighty God is He. He's saving me, keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, praise His name.
Hallelujah! Praise the Lord!
Hallelujah!
Thank you, amen. Lord. Thank you, Lord. Wonderful, Brother Terry. How many could see yourself in that parallel? Oh, praise the Lord. I imagine if the history of our life was written, that which is seen and that which is unseen, it would be amazing how many stories that would be written about you.
Amen.
Of how many times God has moved for you, for me, that we wasn't even aware of it. If He loves them that much, and the majority of them will wind up being lost. The majority of the Jews is only 144,000. The most of them will join up with the Antichrist system. They will sell out their brothers. The Jews are going to kill Moses and Elijah. They'll be seen in the streets, remember? Their bodies will be seen in the streets. You know how a lot of them will do it? On their smartphones. When John prophesied that, there ain't a way could have happened then. But today, they'll see their dead bodies in the streets around the world. On their iPhones and their droids and their tablets. Like that it'll happen. And the majority of the Jews will be the ones who'll do it. And God's doing all this blessing. Praise God. Hallelujah. Don't you love Him? Oh, my friend, don't you know He's mindful of you? Don't you know He's mindful of all your needs? If He'd fight their battles with all of that, what about you as the bride? You're His wife. They're servants. You're His wife. Amen. He has a need. You'd like to be remembered tonight in prayer. All right, let's hold that request there right now in your heart. Let's go before the Lord. Mighty God of Jacob, we approach Your throne tonight, Lord Jesus. We thank You for Your word, Lord. Once again to remind us of Your great love. Of these things, Father, hearing what You've done for the nation of Israel. Lord, even this past week when we were over in Switzerland, there was believers from Israel that were streaming the services. So, Lord, we know that You're going to get Your children. We thank You tonight, Father. If You are so mindful of the promise to Abraham, how much more are You mindful of the many, many promises? Many more promises have been given to us than was ever even pronounced to Abraham. Lord, forgive us of our fears, our unbelief. Lord, of thinking that You won't keep Your word. You saw the hands of the people tonight, Lord, that was uplifted. It signified needs, requests, desires, something in their hearts, Lord. I pray You'd move for them. Lord, now, Lord, not only those that are visible, but others that are invisible in the streaming and others that will go back and archive it. I pray the presence of God would meet the needs of Your people. Lord Jesus, there's story after story after story of how You've moved for the nation of Israel. But not only that, there is testimony after testimony after testimony of what You've done for us in our land as well. And we are so grateful, Lord Jesus. May we not, dear God, receive and receive and receive and not turn around and say thank You for all that You've done for us. Help us, I pray, Lord God. We thank You for Your word tonight, Lord. I pray You'll bring us back again in the morning, Lord Jesus. May we come with an expectant heart, desirous to hear from heaven. We love you so much, Father. I pray that you bless Brother Terry. Give him strength, Father, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. How many enjoyed the word? Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Brother Terry, for all that studying and all that preparation. I'll tell you, that don't come together on its own. Now, the gift in a man's life, God anoints that gift and gives him what he studied. But if he don't study, there ain't near as much there to work with. Well, I appreciate all the effort that ministers put forth, don't you? I do. I appreciate all the effort that men of God put forth to be able to study and to bring things that are a benefit to us, to help us to see the parallel in our needs.
And touch the Lord as He goes by. You'll find He's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. He is passing by this moment. All your if you'll just reach out and touch the Lord as He goes by, reach out and touch the Lord as He goes by. This moment, your needs He will supply. If you'll just reach out and touch the Lord as He goes by, reach out and touch the Lord.
Ain't it been good to be in the house of God? Aren't you glad you've got a hunger in your heart for the Word? Let me share it with you tonight, and I'll repeat it again in the morning for those that will be here in the morning service. This past weekend when we were there together in Switzerland, and probably 450 people, something like that. It wasn't a gigantic crowd. Brother David Meyer was there interpreting in French. In the back, they were interpreting in Russian and Polish and several other languages, seven other languages at the same time. There were 72 nations. People from 72 nations that were streaming the services. And the gospel will be preached to every kindred and tongue and nation and people. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. 72 nations. at one time. Isn't that wonderful? That's wonderful. There were people there from Rome, Sicily, Belgium. One brother wanted me, and Brother Ron Spencer, and Brother Tim to come and have a convention in Rome so we could preach to the Pope, he said. Rome, Italy, Sicily, Congo, just all over Europe, Belgium, England, Switzerland, France, just nation after nation after nation of people that were gathered together. Oh my, you just think of what it's going to be that day. Now for me, I couldn't speak to a lot of them people, and they couldn't speak to me. We'd look at one another, and you could tell Brother Warren they wanted to talk. I wanted to talk to them, but we couldn't because there was a language barrier. But every time that I would see them, and they'd smile, and I'd shake their hand, and no. And, you know, so you just, but you think in your heart, one day we'll be gathered together. Amen. We won't be speaking French. We won't be speaking English. We'll be speaking a language that we've never learned before, the heavenly language. Amen. We're already learning to speak one now. That's the message of the hour. Amen. It's gathering us together. Praise God. Oh, don't you love Him, children? Thank God for the Word tonight. Amen. God bless you. Let's sing together as we go. Let's just sing it, Harry. Reach out and touch the Lord. God bless you. Pray for me in the morning. The Lord, just give me strength. And we just look forward to a wonderful time in the Lord. Amen. It's a great hour to be a Christian. It's a great hour. God bless you. Go in the fear of God. Reach out and touch the Lord as He goes by. You'll find Him not too busy to hear your heart's cry. He's past. This moment, your needs He will supply. Oh, reach out and touch the Lord as He goes by. Reach out and touch the Lord as He by. You'll find He's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. He is passing by this moment. Your needs He will supply. If you'll just reach out, touch the Lord.